Talent shows. Where would television be without them, particularly right now? You're watching one of them. Do you wonder, why can't I do that? Is it just that we are not born with that talent? Can any of us belt out a tune like Delta, Joan Sutherland, given the right training? Same for playing sport or something skillful or something artistic. You know, back in primary school, there always seemed to be a different class. We changed around each year, but it always seemed to be, it was often actually a girl when I was at school. I hope that doesn't sound sexist, but someone with very artistic, even in primary school. And I always wondered, why isn't that coming so easily to me? I wonder. Never thought that? Why do you think it is? 1-300-147-222. Professor Mike Anderson is going to help us out, the Dean of the School of Psychology at Murdoch University. Professor Mike Anderson, good morning.
Good morning to you, Joseph.
Talent. So are we born that way, or did we learn it?
Oh, well, as always, it's a mixture of both, isn't it? And often talent is an overused term, as those of your listeners who watch many of the TV shows observing talent. I think in extreme levels of talent, you would be hard-pushed to say that there isn't something inborn in that particular individual. But at less extreme levels of talent, I think you can develop what capacities you have to a surprising degree.
If there is, and I think a lot of us probably have thought, as you've described it as extreme levels of talent, that a lot of people probably would accept that there's something there that's come along, that's been there. I don't know how, in a way, when I think about it logically. So how? How could something like a predisposition to, let's say, illustrations, visual art, you know, how could that be there in our genes, genetic makeup, or wherever?
And you ask hard questions. I think mostly, the other thing to remember is that most talents are, in a sense, culturally defined. That is to say, some people may do extremely difficult things, but they're so weird, nobody would recognize them as talents. Something like art, drawing, goes way back in human history, as we know, and is probably intrinsically connected to humans' capacity for communication. Now, the way we normally communicate, of course, is by language and by gesture. And some people have developed a talent for communicating quite abstract thoughts by pictorial representation. How that comes about is a very deep and hard question to answer. But at one level, it's not so mysterious. We're a communicating species. We're a very innovative species, and we use whatever devices have been available to us through human evolution and culture to do those things.
Well, you're the Dean of the School of Psychology, Murdoch University.
Yep. Exercise science, I should have added, because there are many talents that are related to movement and sport.
Can you do a test psychologically to tell if somebody has got a predisposition to a certain talent?
Not a predisposition, or it would be an extremely unreliable test. What you find more often than not, though, is children who show a great deal of developmental advance, and that's normally an early sign. Many parents will recognize that their little kid is particularly adept at picking up a tennis racket and hit a tennis ball from a very young age. Other children take a considerable amount of time to even master very simple coordination tasks. So early appearance is something that is a bit of a hallmark of talent. It's usually quite, it's unusual to find that talents emerge later in life. There's usually some sign fairly early on. And as I say, that's a gross generalization. Here I'm talking about, you know, considerable talent.
What about language? Just as something that we all deal with. We don't all necessarily have somebody in the family who's great at an artistic pursuit, but language we're using on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes it seems, as you said, right from a young age, children can have a natural predisposition and language comes easily. Other times it doesn't come so easily. How do we explain that?
Well, I think, again, there are lots of factors. Undoubtedly, as we're discovering in psychology more and more, the development of the brain itself has an important influence on the development of all sorts of abilities. So we'll probably know in about 50 years a bit more about how it is that underlying biological forces shape the expression of these things in developing children. But there are, you know, there are many other dimensions too. In the case of language and verbal ability, it's got a rather unusual profile in that although you will probably find that some, you know, most great people in literature have shown early prodigious talent, that talent is one that actually, if anything, carries on throughout the lifespan. And a lot of great literature is written by people who are frankly getting on a bit, which is a bit unusual. So in contrast with things like mathematics, where most people are done and dusted by about 30.
Well, I think we're all frankly getting on a bit.
Yeah.
But I agree with you there. That's interesting. I read the other day that many of the great scientific and mathematical discoveries were made by the time the individual concerned was about 30 years old or so. And yet books, well, you just seem to get better with that. The better writing seems to be done with better experience.
And I think that's true about what we would call the arts in general, because partly it's a function of what it is that you're being, what you're communicating about through your art. And if you've not lived much of a life, often that's not too profound. And so you could say that partly the real expression of that kind of talent has to wait until life experience has given it something to be expressive about. There was some really interesting work actually a few years ago by Bruce Miller, and I think in California, who showed that a really unexpected side effect of the onset of dementia in some patients, where for sadly for an all too brief period, part of the onset of the disease, suddenly a lot of people who otherwise had not shown this talent could suddenly find that they could paint and draw. And Bruce Miller had a theory that said, in fact, our brains are wired up in certain ways to inhibit some things so that other things flourish. And as those areas of the brain were being subjected to the destructive progress of the disease, it released some things that otherwise would not normally be expressed. So it's quite a complex relationship between what's going on in the brain and how you express that self in a culturally valued activity.
It's 22 past 10, sunny and tops in the high 20s today. Chat with the Bureau in about half an hour's time. Professor Mike Anderson is with us, the Dean of the School of Psychology at Murdoch University, as we ask, why is it so? Why are some of us born with certain talents? And for the rest of us, how do we get those talents, perhaps? Maybe an opportunity too. I mean, you don't have to do this as bragging rights or anything. You don't have to name anybody, but just on the curiosity of this particular happening in the human condition, anybody in your family who you'd say was born with a particular talent? And what have you made of all of that? You know, have you thought, well, all right, that's come from nature, nurture. I feel I was good at that and my children had it. I'll tell you what's interesting too is when parents don't have any predisposition for a talent and boom, up crops a talent in one of the kids from apparently nowhere. Anybody listening who's had that? Have you had that with the kids where they're really good at something and you have got absolutely no predisposition to it? 1-300-147-222. Professor Mike Anderson, where is talent? Is it in the brain cells?
No. The cause of talent in many instances, you would say, without the required brain cells or without the capacity of the central nervous system, it would not manifest itself. But on anybody's story, talent needs an environment in which to be nurtured. So I often say to the students that we talk to in university, you know, in a reasonably sized lecture theatre, there is probably somebody in the audience sitting there, believe it or not, with the brain, with the kind of capacity of something like Isaac Newton. It's just that Isaac Newton, with that brain, was around at a particular point in human history in a particular culture that allowed that undoubtedly astonishing brain to do some things that no human being had ever done before. But you can't really extract it in that sense for a concept such as talent from the, if you like, the social environment in which it operates.
I've been told I have a brain like Homer Simpson, but it hasn't been allowed to flourish in that direction either. How successful are, because you work in this area in sport as well, how successful are talent identification programs that they run today in sport?
I think they're getting better and better. As I say, one of the things, these are kind of ongoing research projects, but your listeners might like to conjecture whether there is a general ability thing in sport. Some of my colleagues that I've talked to who work with various specialist sports teams like baseball or tennis or golf or whatever often remark that at the academies, when these younger children are being kind of weaned and trained into these sports, that the best one in baseball also is the best one in golf, also is the best one in tennis, also is the best one in football. So there does seem to be underlying perceptual motor abilities that fuel all these different sports. But of course, where you end up being talented may be a function of where you desire to spend your capacities and indeed what the competition's like round about you.
Somebody in your family got a talent? 1300 147 222. Again, you don't have to go naming and embarrassing everybody, but perhaps just your take on it all and perhaps where it's come from, how it manifests itself. 1300 147 222. Professor Mike Anderson, you often hear that people with autism have some very particular or extreme talents, like numbers, for example, often comes up. Do we understand that? Why and how?
Again, a hard question. I've actually myself done some research on an autistic chap, and I've published this, who could recognise prime numbers. And most of your listeners will remember that a prime number is an integer that is divisible only by itself in one, without a remainder. Now, this lad could not speak. He could not communicate in any meaningful sense. He's what we would call his verbal intelligence was on the floor measurably. Interestingly, both his father and his mother were mathematicians, and he became autistic, if you like, because of an early birth injury. But he could recognize numbers. Do you know if 553 is a prime number? I don't, because I just made it up. whether it is or it isn't, you can determine by dividing 553 by every prime number up to the square root of that number. And we did some experimental tests and discovered that whatever this young man's brain was doing, it was doing exactly that. Now, there's a real mystery here. One was, how did he know how to do that? And secondly, how could he do that, given he could hardly do anything else? And we don't know the answer. All we know is that he is doing that. And it may be something to do with the fact that fundamentally mathematics is saying something about the structure of the universe that's mirrored in our brains. I don't really know. But autism often presents itself with this enigma of an isolated and quite astonishing talent. Although it must be said, lots of autistic people have no talents at all.
Just tell me one more time what it was he was doing to determine that it was a prime number.
What he was doing was, you would take any number, and if you know what the square root of that number is, or at least the lowest square root, and you divide by every prime number up to that square root, and none of them divide into that number without remainder, then you can say with certainty that number is a prime number. There are computers still trying to work out what the limits of prime numbers are. You know, whole computer science departments are devoted to this. Nobody really knows. It's a mystery. And he can do this. And the lad can, you know, barely communicate. And so it is just a complete mystery. We know what he's doing in some senses in his brain. We know what his brain is doing. How it came to be able to do that, we really don't know.
That all sounds impossible. But amazing stuff, isn't it? There's so much to learn about the human brain. I've got an SMS here. It says we're asking about talents here. Don't be so hard on yourself, JT. Being a Collingwood supporter takes true talent. I think that's probably about the extent of mine, unfortunately. Professor Mike Anderson, thank you very much for helping us with our why is
Not
it so, why we have talents sometimes and why others of us don't. Much appreciated. Professor Mike Anderson, who is the Dean of the School of Psychology at Murdoch University in my fruitless chase for a talent of some sort.